Zichrono Levracha, and her son Tzvi Dov Shmuel Khan, Zichrono Levracha. And this year has also been dedicated by Jonah and Elizabeth Turk in memory of Fega Bas Binyamin, Zichrona Levracha. So thank you so much to the sponsors. May this year be a cause an Eloi Neshama for their souls in heaven. It's really wonderful to see everyone today. And I want to address a pretty pointed question. And that is, what is the relationship between religious piety and physical well-being? Put in other terms, should we expect from our perspective that if someone is observant, if they are careful to observe the mitzvot of the Torah, should we expect that they should therefore be healthy and be successful and have an enjoyable life? Now, on the surface, it's a pretty simple question, but it's a very complicated answer, isn't it? Because on the one hand, there are many psukim in the Torah which do seem to suggest that if we just simply follow the ways of God, that we will enjoy a wonderful life. And yet, at the same time, certainly the last few months have taught us that it is not necessarily so. Our experience demonstrates to us that there are certainly times in which people who seem to be very pious, very observant, and yet they do not enjoy a pleasant experience in this world. And I'd like for a few minutes to explore one text in our Torah, a very prominent one, which explores this question. And that is the story of Mara, the bitter waters. Before I get to that, as some have noted already, I'm not going to share my screen. I want to promote as much face-to-face or at least screen-to-screen dialogue as possible, but if you look in the chat, the source sheet should be downloadable there. And we are starting on page 20 of our source sheet. So we begin with the story right in the aftermath of the Kriyat Yam Suf. Hashem has split the sea so that the Jews can escape their Egyptian tormentors. An incredible revelation of God's omnipotence and his incredible justice. And the Jews have literally seen their slave masters punished in front of their eyes. They see their bodies float up onto the shore. They explode in a song to God. And on the one hand, it's all very inspiring, but you can imagine that it's also quite frightening. Because I guess this whole following God thing isn't always, so wonderful and sweet. Apparently, if you do the wrong thing, you get punished too. And that leads to the next story. So if you look in source number one, this is immediately after the story of Kriyat Yam Suf. And the story goes as follows. And I'm just going to share the link in the chat once again for everyone. Again, I'm going to try not to share my screen, but I believe you should be able to access the source sheet by simply clicking on the link in the chat. The Torah says as follows in source number one, in Perek Tadvav of Shemot. It says, Vayisa Moshe Yisrael miyam suf. Vayitzu el mibashor v'yalchu shoshet yamim b'minbar v'lo matzu mayim. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe had Israel travel from the Sea of Reeds, and they went to the desert of Shur, and believe it or not, they traveled 3 days in the desert and found no water. Right? Contrary to what you might have thought, certainly in the desert there should have been a stand selling some water bottles somewhere. But lo and behold, no, there was no water in that desert. How surprising. Continues the Torah. Vayavo Marata. They came to this place called Mara. Of course, what does Mara, what does the word mar mean in Hebrew? Maror, what does that mean?
Mar-mean.
What does the word maror mean? Mar.
Mar means bitter.
Bitter, right? They go to this place called Bitter, which is the story tells us why it's called Bitter. So they go to this place called Mara. V'lo yachlu v'sho mai mi mara ki marim heim. So they went for 3 days without water. They finally find water. And lo and behold, the water is bitter. So bitter that they cannot even drink the water. Akin kara shema mara, and therefore it is called Bitter. The nation complained to Moshe, and they say, what shall we drink? He cries out to God. God showed him a tree, Vayashlech el hamayim, vayintiku hamayim. And he throws the tree into the water, and the water is sweetened. Unbelievable. A miracle. Amazing. The water is bitter. It's a time of a crisis. God shows Moses a tree. He throws the tree into the water, and the water is sweetened. Sham sam lo chok u'mishpat b'sham miso. The verse continues here in verse number 25, a very cryptic phrase. There he placed for him a rule and a statute, and there he tested him or tested them. A very cryptic passage we'll have to get back to a little bit later. And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. Vayomer, and he said, Im shamoa tishma l'kol Hashem elokecha, if you will surely heed the voice of the Lord your God, Mayashar be'inab ta'ase, and you shall do what is straight in his eyes, v'hazantel mitzvotah, and you will pay heed to his commandments, v'shamarta kol chukav, and you will observe all of his statutes. What is the wonderful reward for someone who is so incredibly pious? Kol hamachala asher samti b'mitzrayim lo asim alecha. All of the afflictions that I have placed upon Egypt, I will not place upon you. Why? Ki ani Hashem rofecha. Because I am Hashem, your healer. End of the story. What bothers you about this story? Right, like a brief summary. So they go into the desert. There's no water. They go to Mara. The water is bitter. They cry out to God. God has Moses take a tree, throw it into the water. It's sweetened. And then God says, look, here's how it's going to work, guys. If you keep all the mitzvot, I'm not going to hit you with the 10 plagues because that's how great I am. Right, I'm the most wonderful God in the world. So what bothers you about the story? Thoughts. What questions might you ask after reading a story like this one?
How is the bitter water connected to like no machala from Mitzrayim?
Ah, thank you, Aaron. Thank you for that. So Aaron asked a great question, right? What's the story with the bitter water? What was the purpose of that miracle? What is the purpose of throwing a tree into the water and sweetening it? And how does that relate to the message of Ani Hashem Rofecha? I would add a few more questions, and if you look at the source sheet number 2, I think Don Isaac Abravanel asked the fundamental questions here, and I'll ask another one as well. Number 1, and I'm not going to read it inside, just so we get into the crux of our talk here, what was the point of bringing them into the desert, and then bringing them afterward to this place Mara? Why did God put them in that situation? It's like setting them up for failure, isn't it? Is that a fair test? Like, don't people need water? Isn't that a basic necessity? What was he expecting of the Jews? Furthermore, this test that is referred to in the text, Sham Sam Lo Choku Mishpat Visham Nisahu. What was the test? And what were the rules that God was teaching at that time? And if the test was, well, let's see if the Jews are going to complain, right? Let's see. Well, wouldn't you complain? Wouldn't you complain if God led you into the desert for 3 days without water and then finally brought you to a place where there was water and you couldn't drink from it? It's not exactly a fair test. And furthermore, what do we do with this last verse, right? What is the tremendous reward for doing all this good stuff? I listen to God. I do it straight in his eyes. I pay careful attention to his mitzvot. And what do I get? What do I get? I don't get boils. I don't get blood in the water. I don't get lice. Well, thanks. I know I really appreciate that. Okay, wouldn't you have expected a nicer reward than simply not being punished with the 10 plagues? I mean, really? That's what I get for being so careful? And finally, and this I think is the big one, what are we to make of this phrase, Ani Hashem Rofecha, I am God, your healer? What exactly does that mean? Does it mean to say that, oh, well, Hashem's always going to take care of us if we're careful? Because it's not always so. We do see people that seem to be perfectly pious and decent people, and they do get punished. How do we understand, then, this notion of God being our healer? I'd like to present 3 approaches to you. And we begin with approach number 1, which I am going to say is the approach of if you dedicate yourself to him, God will heal you. This approach suggests that indeed, if we keep to the Torah and mitzvot perfectly, the intent is that we will supersede the laws of nature. God will give us a supernatural healing no matter what the sickness is. We will be taken care of. This is how Don Isaac Abravanel explains this verse. Abravanel, in source number 3, suggests that the purpose of this test, why does God bring them into the desert? It is a preparation for Matan Torah, for receiving the Torah. And the purpose of in how did this prepare them? It is to say, look, this is how this is going to work. We're going to give you the Torah. You have to know it's going to be difficult to keep the Torah, but if you do it, God will take care of you. That is the message. Says the Bravnel in source number 3, we'll read it briefly. What the most appropriate way to read this passage to me is, Shahaya HaKadosh Baruch Hu atid latet lahem b'sinai Torah u'mitzvot. Hutrif masonot harishonot elal haviyam b'tzarot u'mitzvot. God was going to give them the Torah, and therefore he had to put them in a difficult, stressful situation. Ba'ofen shitchananu lefanav v'hu yimalei et tzorkam. In order that they should supplicate in front of him, and he would fulfill their needs. And therefore they would know there is a God in Israel. Right? The purpose is, it wasn't their fault that they complained, says Abravanel. If you continue, they weren't punished for complaining. They were supposed to complain. God puts them in this difficult situation on purpose. But it's to teach them, even in the most dire of circumstances, if you are connected to God, simply call out to him and he can take care of you, because it is all in God's hands, as is the material in the hand of the crafter. God can do whatever he wants. It doesn't matter. God can take that bitter water and he can make it sweet. Take a look at source number 4, and this is Rabbeinu Bachaya. Says Rabbeinu Bachya on this phrase, "Ano ani Hashem ruvecha, v'yomer hakatov imata mekayim kol zeh tia nishmar mikol choli." It's not just the plagues of Egypt that we will be protected from if we keep the Torah. It's all affliction, all sickness. It's two different phrases. You will not have the afflictions of Egypt, and also you will not have any sickness. For I am Hashem, your healer. That is the first approach here. According to this approach, what is the test? What exactly is this nisayon? I think there are two different interpretations that you can give. Number one is the Bravanel. He says it's not exactly a test as much as an educational demonstration. I am showing you how this is going to work while you march through the desert. The way it works is that you obey me, I take care of you, no matter what. And another interpretation of the Ran, Rabbeinu Nissim, suggests that the test is actually of the Torah. The Torah is being tested, adhering to the word of God is being tested. You see what happens when you pray? God takes care of you. Now, this is one approach according to the Psukim, and it is a bit of a difficult approach, because as I've said, we don't always see this out. But I'd like to at least give it its fair treatment. And to do that, I'd like to look at this Ramban in source number 6. The Ramban is commenting on the verse in Vayikra, and also, but a general comment he has on many verses in the Torah which suggest that God takes care of us if we listen to him. And he says as follows, HaKlal, Ki biyot Yisrael shleimim v'heim rabim. When the Israel is perfect, and there are many of them, many perfectly righteous people, Lo yitnaheg inyanam b'teva, while God will not direct them with nature at all. Lo begufam, velo beartsam, lo bichlalam, velo beyachimehem. Not they, nor their bodies, nor their land, not the community in general, or even a specific individual. Ki yivarech Hashem lachmam umimam. God will bless their bread and their water. Biyasir machalam yekribam. and he will remove sickness from their midst. Ad shelo yitzarku lerofe olehishamer bedarach midarach erfu klal. They will not need doctors, right? For all those who are in the medical profession in the audience, if it goes the Ramban's way, we might have to look for another profession, says the Ramban. He will not need doctors. However, the Ramban brings a few different psukim to buttress this. And he says, look at what Chizkiyahu HaMelech did when he was sick. Chizkiyahu HaMelech in Melachim doesn't go to the doctor. He goes to Yeshaya, the prophet. Furthermore, when we talk about King Asa, Melech Asa, the psukim in Divrei Yamim criticize him for not seeking God, but rather seeking the advice of the Rofim. And the Ramban says, the reason it mentions that is because clearly in that time, in the time of Nevuah, that was not the norm. It would have been normal for him to seek the advice of prophets rather than the advice of the physicians or the healers of his time. And I think the point is, for the Ramban, this is a certain spiritual reality, an ideal spiritual reality that existed, but in a time where this is not normal, and in a time when we can't hold ourselves to these standards, and we can't say confidently that we are fulfilling everything perfectly, as many in the chat have already mentioned, then we can't necessarily rely on this supernatural providence which takes care of all our sickness and all our illness. This is not something that we can necessarily expect. Therefore, the Ramban says, quoting the Gemara, Mikan nitna hashut l'rofe l'rafot, v'rapo y'rape. The Torah says, you shall surely heal. God gives the permission to the medical officers, all the doctors in the audience, to continue conducting their practices, because it's not normal necessarily to hold ourselves to the standard and to ask advice from the prophets. We don't have prophets, and you need to be on a very high spiritual level to merit such providence from God. So let's look at a different approach here. Two more. A second approach, if you look above source number 7, is that of Torah life as medicine. And this is where Rashi looks at this phrase, Ani Hashem Rofecha, and he says it is not a direct sort of supernatural healing that God is giving people, but rather the Torah serves as the treatment. A life of Torah and mitzvot is what is the medicine in this pasuk. Rashi says as follows in source number 7, Lefib shuto ki ani Hashem rofecha, I am God, your healer. Milamercha Torah u'mitzvot lema'an tinatzel mehen. And I am going to teach you Torah and mitzvot so that you should be saved from the afflictions of Egypt. Don't eat this food so that you will not get the sickness. God is saying the Torah and the mitzvot that I am giving you are like a medicine and a healing to you. I am prescribing for you the appropriate way to live your life so that your life is enjoyable and healthy. That is the refuah happening in these psukim. Look at the midrash in source number 8. It reflects a similar notion. According to this approach, what is the test? What is being tested? So Chazal have a pretty well-known way of interpreting these psukim, where they say that at this point, even though it was before the revelation at Sinai, God gives a few mitzvot to the Jewish people as a test run. I'm going to give you the Torah. Here are a few mitzvot for you to perform as a test. And that is the test that is happening in these psukim. So the refuah is through the Torah. And I think maybe the source that reflects this in the eyes of the sages most directly is the source in number 10, the Gemara in Erevin, which I'll read with you briefly. Take a look at source number 10. This is Erevin 54a, where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says as follows. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Hamahalik b'derev eni molavaya. If someone is traveling on the path and they have no one to escort them, what should they do? No, don't turn to Waze. Don't just use your GPS. Yasok b'Torah. Learn Torah. Shenemar ki livyat chim him, which is an interesting plan. The pasuk Livyat doesn't really mean Levaya escorting there. On a simple explanation, it means some sort of wreath around your neck. But it's poetic license. The Torah will be your livaya. It will escort you. Chash berosho, you had a headache. What do you do? Yasuk b'Torah. Learn Torah. Chash begrono, you have a pain in your throat. Yasuk b'Torah. Chash b'meyav, you have a stomachache. Yasuk, you guessed it, b'Torah. Learn Torah. And it goes on and on. How are we to interpret this idea? How is the Torah a medicine? So I think a simple explanation, if you wanted to sort of get out of this metaphysical perspective, you could suggest that what Hashem is saying here isn't literally medicine. It doesn't literally mean it's going to physically heal you. It means this is an appropriate way to live and arrange your life. That Hashem is saying, look, you want to have a good life, you want to have a healthy life, you want to have good relationships, you want to have a perfect balance of physical and material success, keep the Torah. And that is indeed, if you look in source number 12, what Maimonides says at length in his Guide for the Perplexed. But he says the Torah has two aims. It has the aim of physical well-being, the mitzvot, and it has the aim of enabling us to understand God and the world as well as we can. And the two are contingent upon one another, because if you are suffering physically and if you're not enjoying yourself, if your life is tough, then you won't be able to achieve this perfection that the Torah wants from us. And the Torah sets up laws so that we can have a society in which we function appropriately, everything is in balance, so that we can live lives the way we want to. I'd say that's a more rational approach. However, there is a more, and I think both are valid and sincere and good representations of Torah. There's a more spiritual approach to this Gemara, dictated by the Maharal in source number 11, where the Maharal essentially says that the Torah is the blueprint for the world. In our perspective, when God created the world, he looked at the Torah, and the Torah dictates the way things are supposed to function, their seder, the appropriate order. And just as sickness is a deviation from our physical order, also sinful behavior is a deviation from our spiritual order. And the way to return to order is by involving oneself in Torah, because the Torah is the order of the world. It is a certain way to ensure that everything is running and functioning the way it is supposed to. According to this approach, how are we to look at this notion of putting the bitter tree in the water? What is the point of this miracle? And what is the point of Ani Hashem Rof Echa? For that, I'd like to turn to source number 13, and it's a beautiful Kli Yakar. And he says as follows, Kishem she'inichem haraot she'biyadi lerafot davar mar bedavar mar kayotzi bo. Says the Kli Yakar, look what I have done. I have taken a tree, some wood, which is not exactly the type of thing you usually put in your tea to make sure it tastes more sweet, right? You don't take a tree and put it in the tea. God takes a tree and puts it in the water, and the water is sweetened. Says the Kiyachar, Me'atza tzekaba lecha lishmua b'kol Hashem ha'asore yashar b'enav. Therefore, listen to the mitzvot. Why? Says the Kiyachar, even though sometimes Torah life is bitter, it's rough, it's difficult, it's not easy to see how it's making our lives more sweet. But you have to trust God, because he is our doctor. And just as when a person visits a doctor, they won't necessarily understand the medical treatment that the doctor is performing upon them, but they trust the doctor has, you know, he has his or her license. They know medicine. They're doing it in their best interests, and ultimately it will heal them. So we should trust God, the Torah and the mitzvot, as bitter, as difficult as they sometimes seem, will ultimately be a refuah, a healing for us. And that is the notion of Ani Hashem Rofecha. And to that, I want to present the third approach, which is similar but a bit different. And this is the approach of the Malbim and Ritzadak HaKohen Milublin, who broaden the perspective from specifically keeping mitzvot to our experience in life and general. And what they say is Ani Hashem Ruf Echa means that just as when you take a medical treatment or medicine or you go through a procedure, it can be very painful. But ultimately, the hope is it will result in a healing. So too, God is telling the Jews, you are going to experience difficult times in your life, but know that I am your Rofe. And it will not be like what happened to the Egyptians. We ask, what is the point of bringing in the 10 plagues here? The reward is we don't experience the 10 plagues. Say the mob and Rav Tzedek HaKohen Milublin. No, the point isn't that we're not going to experience the hardship of the 10 plagues. It's that it will not be the same nature of punishment. God isn't punishing us when we experience hardship and suffering. Ultimately, in some way, it is for our betterment. Whether it is to get us to cope with the adversity, but coping with the adversity as we've experienced in these last few months, coping with the challenges of a difficult situation often brings out the best in us and makes us actualize our potential. Or if it's to send a message to us so that we can improve. The point is that God doesn't punish us simply for the intent of making us suffer. He is like our doctor. He is doing it for our best interests. The punishment, if you don't listen to the doctor, isn't a punishment, it's a consequence. It's wrapped up in the disobeying of the doctor. And that is the same with Torah and Mitzvot. And I leave you with Rafat Rav Tzedek HaKohen Milublin, source number 15, who says that it's interesting. The Torah doesn't just say that we're supposed to observe the Mitzvot. It says, Shamoa Tishma, you should listen. And Rav Tzedek HaKohen Milublin says, even if you don't practically succeed, even if you mess up every once in a while, when you have that desire, when you have that ratzon, it's im shamoa tishma. If you're trying to listen, if you're trying, and because God loves you, because it's ani Hashem rofecha, He will bring that healing to you. And even the punishment is a healing as well. I'll read a bit of Tzedek HaKohen, source number 15. Behainu sheyiya hashcheshet lishmoa divrei Torah. That the desire should be, the cheshek, the yearning, to listen, to observe the Torah. V'zehum shamoa tishma v'azant l'mitzvotav. And that is why it says, if you listen, sh'al kapanin yiyeh lachem cheshek liyotov ashet kakalu b'masa apoa. As long as you have this desire to observe the mitzvot, even if practically you don't always do so, HaBatuach HaMakarash Baruch Hu Kol HaMachala, Hashem promises you that whatever you experience is going to be for the better. And I know there's so many questions to ask here, and we don't always see them, it's difficult, but I found at least the most practical perspective going forward for me is to, rather than always, on the one hand, look for a wonderful miracle from God that my life should be perfectly sweet and wonderful all the time, because it doesn't always happen that way, but to see how I can grow, or how we can grow and improve in every situation, but also to know that we shouldn't judge ourselves at such a high level that we are going to sometimes make mistakes, that we're not always going to be perfect, especially in these difficult times, but to have that confidence in our Ani Hashem Rofecha, that God is the healer, and that He understands that, and that when things are bad, it's not because He's just rejecting us, because He wants us to improve. And may we be able to experience that refuah and that healing, to taste the sweetness of these bitter waters. And hopefully soon we'll be able to gather together in person and not just have to do this virtually. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for all the sponsors, and everybody have a wonderful day. I will turn the mic over to